listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week I will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. I will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and specialized programs out there that can help you, just help your entire family have, you know, the very best possible experience you can as a family. Now, having over 30 years experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields, and many authors who are sharing valuable stories and helpful information, and who are all working to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound, and at the same time, make this world a better place for all of us. And I'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today, I think, is extremely important to all of us, that work with at-risk youth and that have gone through the kind of financial issues that many of us have gone through as our world has changed a little bit. And for the first part, we're going to be talking about providing financing for families with at-risk teens, if their teen has run away, or in any way, any form of health care that you may need. And in this day and age, many of us just don't have that sort of equity in our home that we can go out and just take the money we need and go out to help our family. So we're going to talk quite a bit about the financing for families. In the second half of our show, we're going to talk about how families can navigate insurance systems when dealing with therapeutic programs. So again, everybody keep listening. Know that this is something that can be incredibly helpful as to how you can get the financing you need or how you can get insurance coverage that you need. Now, our first guest today is Graham Anderson. Graham attended the University of Utah, studied Chinese business and Asian studies there. His professional career started on the institutional trading floor at a $50 billion regional bank, which is Zions Bank Corporation, based in Salt Lake City, Utah, and has locations all over the western part of the United States. Graham then joined NBC Universal in time for the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing and then the 2009 Super Bowl in Tampa, Florida. Now, after the Olympics and the Super Bowl, Graham worked on TV shows like Saturday Night Live, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, The Dr. Oz Show, while also working with the NBC Universal corporate communications team during the Comcast acquisition from General Electric. Graham left NBC Universal in late 2010 to utilize his sales, marketing, and banking experience with American Healthcare Lending, focusing on customer engagement and marketing. Graham spent a great deal of time in the behavioral health industry. He has attended multiple NATSAP conferences, including the 2013 National Conference in Irvine, California. Graham, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thanks, Alan. Excited to be here.
Well, I am so glad to have you on here, and I want to start really by just telling a little bit of a story so that people really understand what families are going through out there. And for those that don't know, one of the things that my company does is return runaways, and we get calls from families often that will call and say, you know, my child has run away, can you please find them? One of the first things that I say is, what's your plan? And they go, what do you mean? Just find them and bring them home. And I said, well, you know, I've just done all of this information, I've taken in all this history, and, you know, your child, this is the, you know, seventh time they've run away. You know, each time they run away, they end up going back home, but it doesn't seem like you really have a plan as to how you're going to get out of this cycle. So at that point, you know, I explained to them a little bit about the industry, and you know, they like that, and they go, oh, this is great, this is what we need, this is wonderful. I introduce them to a educational consultant who discusses with them their options in regards to programs. They then get on the phone to the program, and unfortunately, in some cases, you know, they call me back and say, never mind, don't find them. And I go, well, what do you mean? And they go, we can't afford it. We can't afford in this environment, in this economy right now, we can't afford to send them where we really think they need to go. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, I'm understanding that, you know, they are so heartbroken and don't always seem to have a way to go. So, when I met Graham and talked about what American Healthcare Lending is doing, I just, you know, I instantly said, we need to get you on the radio show. We need to make sure that more families out there realize what the options are for them, because I don't think that that many of them really do understand. So I think the first thing, Graham, is for me to tell you thank you for doing what you're doing. And I think that there's a lot of families out there that are also very, very thankful that you're providing a service that allows them to get their family whole, allows them to get the help they need for their family members. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Alan. We're all just kind of trying to do our part here. There's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to, you know, families in crisis, and especially when it has to do with behavioral issues. So,
well, you know, to start off with, and again, and as I introduced you, you have done a variety of work in high level banking, as well as obviously with one of the largest networks in the world. You know, what made you decide to go into behavioral health, you know, industry, and to go into lending? Lending to families at this point?
Well, I mean, there's a huge need. And, you know, the story you just told, I mean, that type of a scenario is something that we see almost every single day, you know, and what's interesting, especially in the, you know, talking about insurance and that you're going to cover that in the second half of the show, really plays into this, because an insurance company doesn't view behavioral problems in a teenager as, you know, an essential medical or healthcare expense. And, uh-huh. You know, good luck telling that to a family that desperately needs help for a 15-year-old teenager that has addiction problems and can't stay in school and, you know, is really headed nowhere because of, you know, all sorts of different behavioral problems that they could possibly have. So, you know, that obviously played a huge role in it for us. It's just there's a huge need. And part of that need is, and let's just to come out and say this out loud right at the beginning, most of these programs are not extremely inexpensive. I mean, and part of the reason for that is, you know, to truly treat a behavioral issue in an at-risk teenager, they need to spend weeks and months and sometimes even years in a facility. And that's never going to be, you know, a really inexpensive experience for the family. And that's okay, you know, I mean, the treatment they're receiving is of high value and is very important and could be setting the stage for the rest of their lives. And so that combination of the need to, you know, help so many families that are in this situation, on top of the fact that these are usually, you know, an expensive experience for them as well, sending a child to a therapeutic boarding school or a, you know, wilderness therapy camp of some kind for 6 months or a year or even longer, you know, can be a huge financial burden on the family.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more, and I appreciate you bringing up the point, you know, in regards to the cost. And, you know, to me, it's like anything else. I mean, in most cases, you know, you're going to get what you pay for. And, you know, we're fortunate to have worked with some incredibly caring and well put together programs and organizations, you know, who have, you know, established a great track record of helping these families. So, yeah, that's again why I'm so excited about the fact that more families, you know, through your services, you know, can get the help that they need. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the loan sizes. And I know that, you know, in some cases, you know, there can be a, you know, a short-term program. There obviously are longer-term programs, as you said. What are some of the loan sizes that families, you know, may be getting through you?
You know, we can do, we can accommodate anything between $1,000 and $100,000. I think one of the most important things to keep in mind in terms of loan sizes, you're dealing with a little bit of a different type of loan when you're financing something like this. You know, if you're going to get a car loan or a mortgage or a, you know, a loan for a boat or a motorcycle or something like that, that's a secured loan. And it's secured because the collateral of the car or the boat or the home is backing the loan. So if you stop paying, the bank has less risk because they could come and recoup the collateral if you stop paying. Now, with this, if you get a loan for your child to go to a therapeutic boarding school, and it's for whatever the amount is, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, if you stop paying on that loan, I can't come and take that treatment away to recoup my cost as a lender, right?
Right.
So because of that, you can't just walk into a bank and get a $500,000 loan, you know, not secured with no collateral backing it. And so all of our loans are unsecured loans. And so because of that, you know, the loan amounts, you know, really can't go over $100,000. That's truly the maximum in the unsecured space. So, you know, we literally see anything from, for the most part, for behavioral health treatments, it's usually between $5,000 and probably $50,000, or what we normally see, with probably the sweet spot being in the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 range. And part of the reason why we see that is, you know, a family's not necessarily looking to finance the entire amount that they need to pay to you know, help their child. But if they can get, you know, just a portion, just something to help them get started, that normally goes a long way. And so if they're going to stay at a therapeutic boarding school for, you know, 6 months and it's going to cost them $50,000, you know, they may just want 15 or 20 or 25 just to kind of take the edge off. You know, it's a funny thing. I think sometimes when we, regardless of how affluent you are, when you go and buy a car, rarely do you just write a check and just, you know, buy it right there on the spot when you're talking about those types of dollar amounts. So, you know, that's something, even for an affluent individual, being able to at least have something that they can pay over time instead of having to just write a check or swipe a credit card for whatever that amount is. So we definitely see the whole spectrum there, but those are kind of the base total amounts that we normally see.
So, I mean, what are some of the greatest challenges for families when they're trying to obtain this kind of financing?
You know, I mean, keeping in mind the idea of the unsecured versus secured loans, obviously because these are unsecured loans, not everybody can be approved and financed. And, you know, that's something that is a reality of the banking world is, you know, a bank is in the business to lend money so that they can get it paid back with interest. And if that's not a possibility, they're not going to lend the money out. And so, you know, basically, if somebody's credit is too challenged to you know, their promise to pay based off of their credit score and their employment status isn't something that a bank would roll the dice on, you know, that's probably one of the biggest challenges for us is, a family will come to us that is just, you know, desperately in need of, hey, we want to help our child and we need this and this is how much money we need and so on and so forth. But, you know, they have a 525 credit score and they've been unemployed for, you know, 2 years. And, you know, as much as we want to be a grant or a scholarship program because of how helpful we can be, you know, we can't give out free money at the same time. And so that's a really tough thing for us on a day-to-day basis, is just people that need it that we really can't help. And, you know, the average credit score in the U.S. right now is between about a 670 and a 680, and we can definitely help people below that. But once you get into the low 600s and 500s, it's really difficult to really lend money to that type of an individual.
Okay. Now, I mean, if they are a little bit on the lower side, I mean, you know, do you have a variety of places that you pull from that allows you to maybe help them, but yet maybe the interest rate's a little higher?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, our loans have a sliding scale interest rate. So if somebody is, you know, the lower their credit score is, the higher the interest rate will be. So yeah, we do try and accommodate as much as possible within that credit spectrum that we're working with.
Now, I found out recently that you guys acquired, I think, another company. I think it's Clark Behavioral Financing. How does your acquisition of that affect the industry?
Yeah, I mean, Clark was really one of, if not the first, finance company within the behavioral health industry. And so they kind of blazed the trail for a lot of guys like us. And, you know, I'd be not gracious to not kind of thank them for doing that and sort of showing the rest of us that this is a great place to do business. But, yeah, recently we just acquired them, just announced within the last month. And so we're kind of slowly transitioning all of their, you know, their clients and their business over to us. And really, you know, what that means is that, you know, we're really maybe the only company that's truly focused in the behavioral health industry. You may find a lender here or there that might be willing to lend into the space, but, you know, the thing that you've got to keep in mind, and this is what Clark was running into, was having a hard time finding lenders that are comfortable lending money to the type of profile that we're talking about. I mean, it's not, if you go to, you know, the bank that I used to work for, Zions Bank, you know, you go to them and say, hey, do you want to start lending money in the behavioral health industry? You probably couldn't even say industry before they wanted to end the conversation and get out the door. And it's mostly because of a lack of education. You know, they just don't know, you know, what that really means, what, you know, the behavioral health industry is all about. So, you know, Clark kind of ran into some trouble finding the right lenders that are willing to work in that space. And so we've been able to cultivate those types of relationships and have a great group of lenders that we work with. And so we're hoping that what this will really mean is helping more families get the money they need to take care of their kids.
Now, One of the things that really impressed me, and for those out there, when I met Graham, they did a seminar in Utah, and I was really impressed with the simplicity of being able to go online and do the application. So can you share briefly, I mean, how the applicant goes through the credit process, and how, I mean, really to me, how simple it really is for them to go online and do the paperwork?
Yeah, it's, you know, we've all been, you know, I referenced the car loans here a couple of times now, but mm-hmm. We've all sat in the car dealership for 3 hours, you know, figuring out the loan documents and going through that whole mess. And because all of us have had that experience so many times, and I don't know one person on planet Earth that speaks highly of that experience. And so we've really gone out of our way to make the process as painless and as simple and as fast as possible. So we have the whole application can be done entirely online. You go online, there's a one-page application that literally consists of, you know, name, address, phone number. You've obviously got to include, you know, your employment status and a social security number. And it literally takes 60 to 90 seconds to fill out the application. And then you'll receive a decision within seconds, letting you know if you were approved or declined. And one of the great things about our program is that we set it up so that it's sort of a pain-free application process where we actually don't do a hard credit inquiry on the individual submitting the application. So we're able to actually see enough information without fully hitting their credit to see if they can be approved or not. Now, once they go through the full process and move towards funding the application, oftentimes we do eventually have to do a hard credit inquiry just to confirm that everything we have is accurate. But it's really nice to be able to go to an individual who's looking for a loan that may say, well, you know, I don't want to submit an application because I don't want it to hurt my credit. And that's something that a lot of people, you know, hear about and is sort of a myth of applying for a loan, is that I'm going to apply for a loan and then it's going to hurt my credit because there's going to be a hard credit inquiry. You know, in the end, a hard credit inquiry is really only going to drop your score, you know, somewhere between 1 and 3 points, and it usually should only last for about 30 days or so. So the only time you get into trouble is if you're applying, you know, all day, every day. But, you know, our program, we've even moved that part out of it where there's no hard credit inquiry up front, and we'll still be able to give you a decision as to approved or declined, the amount you're approved for, you know, your estimated monthly payment and rate, and then you can decide at that point if you want to move on and fund the loan. So, you know, it really is a nice way for families to find out if they're approved or not and before they even decide to move forward. And there's no hard credit inquiry on their credit.
That's good to know. We have an email question that's coming across to me right now that I want to read. This one reads, one of our patients has spent their life savings subsidizing their teenage daughter's stay with two different treatment programs over the last 3 years. She has relapsed once again into her drug addiction. I would like to know how American healthcare financing compares with bank or credit borrowing. So I think you've kind of touched on that, but is there anything else that you would add to that that particular question?
Yeah, really good question. You know, one of the biggest things for us is that our program is meant for this industry. And I say that because if you walk into your local bank or credit union and you say, hey, I want to get a loan to help my teenage daughter go to a therapeutic boarding school or, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever the facility is, they very rarely would lend you money for something like that, or they would only lend you a small portion. So that's one big way that we can be really helpful in that regard. And we'll take our loans out to 5 years, you know, 60 months to pay off those loans. So you do have a great deal of time to do that as well. So that's something that I think really helps. I'd be interested to talk to the individual if they'd like to contact me directly and kind of go through what you've done in the past, where you've been able to finance through, and see if, you know, we've got something that'll be a little bit more secure and easier for you to use. And, you know, our rates are very competitive and good for the industry. And so, you know, hopefully that'll be something that maybe even the rates are just better than what you're currently working with.
Well, let me share with you know, for that person and for everybody else out there, we're going to take a break in just a little bit. But in the meantime, you can go to www.AmericanHCL.com, and you can pull up another screen. If you're at home, pull up another screen, and you can see what Graham is talking about. And if you want to contact Graham, go to Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, at AmericanHCL.com. You can send that question. Graham, can I give them a phone number as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure,
absolutely.
Sure. You can call them at 801-336-4713. So, yes, again, I think that's a great question. And, Graham, one of the things that you just touched on, and if you could hear before we go to break, and, in fact, Graham, I know we're going to be bringing Linda McKinney talking about insurance. Can you stay with us while we talk with her? And if so, because I think there's probably times in which you may have to interact with insurance as well. So
yeah, absolutely. I'd love to stay on.
Please do. And again, when we the one more point is that you mentioned about the length of time, and that's one of the things I remember from the seminar is that there was a Share with us the length of time that these loans can be, because I thought that seemed to be something very helpful as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we like to give families the options, but most of the time, you know, the loans go out to 5 years, but they could even do less if they wanted. And then all of our loans have no prepayment penalties, so they can, you know, if they just want something to kind of get them out of the woods and get them started, and they only want to hold the loan for a year or 2 years, we can accommodate that as well. But most of the loans will max out at about 5 years to really give them some time to pay off. You know, what they've financed.
Well, that is great. And again, for anybody out there, if you want to go to AmericanHCL.com, you can follow along with us. We're going to take a break. Thankfully, Grandma's going to stay with us. But when we come back, we're going to be talking with Linda McKinney in regards to how families can navigate the insurance system when dealing with therapeutic programs. Stay with us here on Answers for the Family.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. And Linda is not with us at this time. Our engineer will get her, and once she is, we will bring her into the conversation. So in the meantime, one of the questions that I have for Graham has to do with the industry as we're seeing it today. What do you foresee happening in the behavioral health industry, let's say, over at least the next few years?
You know, it's an interesting time, especially with, you know, the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare coming into the you know, really full use here and then over the next couple of years. And that's obviously going to greatly affect the whole medical and healthcare industry. Exactly how it's going to affect the behavioral health industry is probably as much a mystery as anything, but I think there's a couple things we know for sure. One thing is that I think there's more and more attention in the behavioral health space, and it's these types of problems and issues are becoming more at the forefront of our, you know, regular conversation. So I think you're going to see over time, you know, more and more individuals that are actually speaking up and seeking help that maybe didn't know where to go before. I also don't think that, you know, you're going to see, you know, the pricing in the industry drop. I mean, I think there's going to be more and more a premium for the services that, you know, education consultants and, you know, wilderness programs and boarding schools are offering to these families. And so I think you're going to see, you know, more and more individuals really seeking out the help. And I think there's going to be just more and more, you know, traffic and business within the sector. And I think what's going to be interesting is to see how insurance plays into this. You know, insurance for the most part is kind of kept their distance from behavioral health and are starting to pay a little bit more attention to it. But you know, over these next few years, I think they're going to feel more and more pressure to really get into the game and possibly do more business in the behavioral health space. So that'll be definitely interesting to watch as well. But I honestly see nothing but I would even go as far as saying extreme growth within the behavioral health space. And I think the only question that I really have is, you know, outside of how is, you know, the Affordable Care Act going to affect things in the behavioral space, but also if it becomes more of a corporate environment, there's still a lot of, you know, kind of personal, you know, programs and centers that are run by families or, you know, a spousal couple and, you know, that have stayed really private. And I think it'll be interesting to see if there becomes more of a corporate environment within the space.
Well, you know, I've got another message. So I think one of our listeners is kind of thinking along the same lines. We've got a listener that is sending in a question right now that says, you know, I was never informed by my insurance company that they might cover this treatment. We are trying to work with a school to get assistance. My question is, how would financial support from a school system work if insurance does indeed cover part of these costs? And if they cover part, could we finance the other aspect of it?
Really, really good question. And yes, we do that all the time. And we also work in a lot of other healthcare fields like dentistry and weight loss surgery and fertility and you know, some of the more, you know, elective healthcare spaces. But we've also gotten into some primary care as well. And, you know, what we see a lot are, you know, especially when you're talking about a bigger dollar amount like this, and you've got a $5,000 or a $10,000 deductible, and then you've got a 20% copay. Well, if this treatment that you're signing up a child or yourself for is, let's just use $50,000 as a round number, and you've got a $5,000 copay or a $5,000 deductible, well, you know, you at least have to pay $5,000 out of the pocket, but then you're looking to pay probably 20% of the remaining $40,000 as well, you know, and you can obviously do the math. It, you know, that's still a substantial amount out of pocket. So, you know, to us.
Wow. I think we were just cut off.
Alan, sorry about that. We're, the fire alarm in our building just started to go off, but it has stopped. So I don't know how in the world that's even possible that could have happened right now, but I'll make sure to mute this if that does happen again.
Okay.
Back to our original topic here. Maybe the insurance companies didn't want me to be talking about this. So yeah, I mean, if we're financing the full amount or a partial amount, or you know, we're paying for part of the deductible. I mean, it doesn't matter to us. So we are always more than happy to help accommodate whatever the family needs. When it comes to, you know, if it's partnered with insurance or not.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point, or that this listener brings up a great point from the standpoint of school districts. And we do a lot of work with school districts, but there are some districts in certain states that, for instance, will say, okay, we're going to pay for the non-public school for this child to go to, but we're not going to pay for the transportation to get them there. So in that case, I mean, it may just be a couple of $1,000s, but you know, in this day and age of many people living paycheck to paycheck, even that couple of $1,000s might be difficult, and it would be a shame for when a school district is going to be paying for the majority of this, for there to be just a couple of $1,000s, you know, to get them there. And what you're saying is even something like that, you know, you would be able to give them a loan for that amount of money that gets their child there and gets the treatment started right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing you've got to keep in mind too here moving forward, just getting back to this idea of insurance and the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, is that we know that as a part of this, that most people are going to see their deductibles rise. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, there's a couple of things that you've kind of got to think about here from an intuitive standpoint. Is most people, because their deductibles are going to go higher, are probably going to be spending a little more out of pocket on their primary care medical treatment. And if that's the case, then things that are looked at as elective care, which would be behavioral health, you know, for the most part, people are going to have less expendable income to use on, you know, some of the more fringe, you know, behavioral health or some of these more elective treatments that they may be getting into. And so naturally we plan on seeing more people coming to us that do get into a program that the insurance company is willing to cover some of the expense, but them still needing to be financed, you know, even if it's just their deductible that they have to pay up front. We see this becoming more and more of a thing that we see here in the near and even the long-term future.
Right. And I think to clarify, and we're not only talking about behavioral health, is that correct? We're talking about health in general. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, primary care and elective treatments in general are definitely going to see a big change here in the next few years.
Right. And let me give you an example. And when you brought up the point, I'm so glad you did, about copays and such. I have a very dear friend that is on a waiting list to receive a liver and to get a liver transplant. And we are told that that operation is $370,000. Well, just the copay of that puts it out of their ability to pay. You know, I mean, think of, and we're talking about now something that is life and death. So what I hear you saying is that you would be able to provide something that show, you know, to where, and I mean, even if it's 10%, that's $37,000. You know, if it's 20%, obviously it's, you know, it's double that. So they would be able to apply for a loan for that amount, pay that over 5 years, and that may be exactly what the hospital needs to see, that they have this kind of loan that shows that they are going to be able to make that payment, maybe even to keep them on the list.
No, that's absolutely the truth. I mean, you know, if they walk into that situation and they say, okay, you know, based on the number you just gave me, I mean, that's about $75,000 out of pocket, and you know, most nonprofit hospitals are going to work with them over the long term no matter what, but even so, they usually need to have some sort of upfront payment of some kind, and if we can help facilitate that, that makes us feel like we're doing something good. You know, we do a lot of this with, even on oncology is something that we see this a lot. You know, I don't even want to say out loud what, you know, chemotherapy treatment can cost a family. You know, it's a lot of the same scenarios. I mean, yes, insurance is great with a 20% copay or whatever, you know, whatever the number is that you have, can be really, really helpful. But, you know, some programs don't have a maximum out of pocket, and, you can really have that can really cause some families a difficult time trying to come up with that much cash, even if they're a comfortable, you know, middle income home. $75,000 out of pocket for something like that is a really large amount of money to try and come up with, you know, sometime in a, especially over a short period of time. So, yeah, this applies to, you know, many different healthcare spaces. You know, weight loss surgery is looked at in a very similar way to behavioral health, where insurance companies don't really see it as an essential you know, healthcare medical need, and so oftentimes they'll only cover half of the procedure or not at all. I mean, there's some states that the healthcare or that insurance companies don't cover anything in a weight loss surgery, and so that again, you know, can be $15,000-$20,000, and a lot of that revolves around behavioral health as well, where you know they've got to change their behavior moving forward. And usually the behavioral change after the fact also can be very expensive. So, you know, this can be really helpful in a lot of those areas. And insurance does play a huge role in it, because they're sort of dictating and picking and choosing what they want to, you know, what they're willing to pay for and how much they're willing to pay for it. You know, it's a difficult game that, you know, all of us probably have had to deal with it at some point in our lives.
That's right. And with us is Linda McKinney to talk more about how insurance is part of the game. But with the point that you just gave, Graham, I want to make sure that we talk after the show so that I can connect you with the family that I'm thinking about. And for anybody else out there, if you know somebody who is going through something like that, again, take down the information. Take down the number that we gave you a little bit ago to be able to to give a call or refer it to them. And again, that's 801-336-4713. You may just save somebody's life. So again, now with us is Linda McKinney. And let me tell you a little bit about Linda. She's been 23 years working in the at-risk youth industry. And part of the reason I know that is she worked 3 years with my company, West Shield Adolescent Services, in the 90s. Since that time, she has worked with two highly respected outdoor wilderness therapeutic programs, College Health Enterprises and Aspen Achievement Academy, where she served as an admissions director. She's also a certified alcohol and drug counselor. And in 2000, she ran a detox unit at Tustin Hospital. Most recently, she has worked with Trails Carolina, training the admissions department, and is once again transporting at-risk youth for my company. When she has some time available, we've been able to call on her, and she's been able to bond with some of these young teens in a way that has made them feel very comfortable going into the program. And with her knowledge of the different programs, it's been a true blessing to us. Linda is also a certified drug and alcohol counselor. She's licensed in 6 states to work with adolescents. The bottom line is, I mean, she's highly skilled in many areas, and for this particular show, one of those skills is securing insurance benefits for parents who are in crisis, and she's great at guiding them through the process. So, Linda, thank you for joining us. My guess is we weren't able to reach you right away because you were probably on the line with a family helping them out.
It was exactly.
That's what I figured.
It's one of those quick calls that you can just say, gee, I'll call you back.
Right.
Crises don't happen between 8 and 5.
Turns out that's right.
Yeah. Gee, you think?
Uh-huh.
I can't put a parent off when they call.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I love about you is that at any time of the day or night when somebody calls, you are there to provide assistance. So, Linda, you probably didn't get a chance to listen to Graham. We've had a great conversation talking about the lending aspect of it, of parents being able to get money to help to pay to get their children to the programs. In what little bit of time we have left, let's touch on real quickly, how does a parent go about accessing their insurance information? I think we had one parent that sent us in a message. They sent us in an email saying that their insurance company wouldn't acknowledge that they did cover anything, and it turns out that maybe they were supposed to have.
It's a tricky field. It really is. I say 90% of the calls that I get tell me, oh, I have great insurance. I say, well, okay, let's think about that. It depends also on a diagnosis. So if you're just calling in just to check your benefits, first off, they're not going to tell you much. They'll give you your outpatient benefits, maybe hospitalization. What insurance companies don't tell you is there's a parity clause, P-A-R-I-T-Y. There are certain mental health issues that have to be covered under the same conditions as medical. So if you have unlimited medical time, and this is one of the parity clauses, then that's also mental health. It's really difficult for, a layman to access this information because insurance companies are not forthright and coming up with it. And the truth of the matter is, some of the people that do the verifications of benefits get out the information, they don't know. They're trained to just look up information and tell a parent. What I do is I get all the basic information from the parents, all the numbers, phone numbers, and policy numbers and all that, but I keep the parent on the phone.
Uh-huh.
Then I call the insurance company. I want those parents to hear the exact same thing that I'm hearing. I also want to ask the questions that only the parents can answer. Otherwise, you know, this will blow up in my face. So I make sure that the insurance company knows I'm on the line with the permission of the parent, and then together we go ahead and we check the benefits. I will then ask questions like, if it's out of network, will you do a single case agreement, meaning a one-time deal? Will they contract with the insurance company and the hospital program, whatever? It's not quick and easy. You usually have to talk to several people because they don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not slamming insurance business. It's just people aren't trained to do this. So that's my surefire way of helping a parent on the front end with their insurance. Now, after a parent has placed their child, I have nothing to do with the insurance.
Gotcha.
Nothing.
Now,
there's a reason.
And Linda, and I don't know if you know Graham, but I want to introduce you to Graham Anderson. He's on the line, and he's from American Home Care Lending. And do you have situations that you run into where you know, you're working with them from the standpoint of getting as much as they can from insurance, and then at the same time, them being able to secure loans to sort of help pay for the amount they're unable to get through the insurance company?
Graham, I did hear part of your conversation with Alan, and light started going off in my head, of course. You can actually ask the hospital if they will accept insurance as payment in full. You have that right. They have the right to say no, but you do have the right to say, look, this, I cannot pay the 20%. It's not going to happen. Will you accept my insurance as payment in full? If they say absolutely not, go to a different hospital. Go to a different doctor. You'll find one out there that will go ahead and say, sure, that's what we'll do. There's always other costs, and I know that, and that's where the lending comes in. But, you know, it's better to go ahead and ask it than to do it after the fact. After the fact, they're record keeping. They're not going to want to go ahead and just rebill for the insurance. But go ahead and ask that. And make sure that you know what your stop loss is and your maximum out-of-pocket. Every policy is different. If you have an out-of-pocket of $2,500 and then insurance will pay 100%, then now you're out $2,500 versus, as you were saying, $75,000.
Right.
And sometimes you have to borrow their deductible and their max out of pocket.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point. You know, it certainly doesn't hurt to ask. And using my friend as an example, maybe it's a situation to where, it's 20%, so it's $75,000. And they say, look, you know, we can't do that. Is there something that you can do? And if the hospital comes back and says, you know what, if you can come up with $50,000, you know, we'll keep you on the list and we'll go. Now you're in a great position to contact, you know, Graham and say, okay, you know, here's what I need, and then be able to show that. Now go back to the hospital and say, okay, I now have confirmation here that I'm going to be getting, you know, this $50,000, keep us on the list and move forward. So I can see a way in which all of this can certainly work together to help more families.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Oh, you were introducing me and saying something about the wilderness programs. Of course, you're supposed to call about the behavioral programs, but whatever, they're still wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of insurances don't recognize that as a covered expense. The wilderness programs can give you a breakdown of services that you can bill your insurance, and very often they pick up the tab on the therapy, the group, the individual therapy. That's where this lending comes in, because it's quite a bit of money to put a kid into a wilderness program. But if you know your insurance is going to cover a little bit of it, then you'll know how much you have to borrow.
Okay.
Not just saying, okay, I think my kid's going to be there 30 days at $450 a day, blah, blah, blah. Because
okay.
You don't know. That's a wonderful way to use both benefits.
Yeah. Now, you know, unfortunately, our time has just flown by. But for anybody, if you have questions out there, you can contact Linda. Her email address is mcmax@aol.com. That's M-C and then M-A-C-K-S at AOL.com. Or you can call at 714-403-4503. If you have any questions in regards to that, thank you both for coming on. And again, if you want to reach Graham, it's 801-336-4713. And if you're driving and you can't write down any of that, go to our website, go to our blog at Answers, the numeral for the family blog. com. We have all of their contact information there. Both of you, thank you so much. I think it's such an important issue. I'm confident that we will be getting calls, or you'll be getting calls, because I think this is a very important thing. So thank you both, not only for what you do, but for coming on the show and sharing with our listeners.
I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Alan.
As always, Alan.
You're very welcome. And again, Graham, I will be contacting you off the air so that I can connect you with that family, because I think this is one of the ways that we can help save their life.
Sounds great.
All right.
Nice talking to you,
Graham. All right. And for everybody out there, thank you for joining us. Be with us next week and continue to listen to us, and give us your desires. Let us know if there is a particular subject that you want to hear about. Shoot us an email. We will put somebody on to answer those questions for you and your family. Have a great week. Take care.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.